This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Environmental and conservation organizations in Michigan are asking the federal government to conduct a study to evaluate the risk of pipeline ruptures and leaks. Representatives of more than 30 groups signed the letter to the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, also known as PHMSA. Jennifer McKay is policy specialist with the Tip of the Mitt Watershed Council based in Petoskey. Jennifer McKay, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Let's tell our audience specifically, what do you want PHMSA, the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, to look at in a study?
Really, what we're looking for is a water crossing study. So we want the federal government, who's responsible for pipeline safety issues in Michigan, to evaluate the integrity of pipelines that cross Michigan's rivers, streams, and lakes.
How big a network of pipelines are we talking about here, and what sort of things, what sort of substances get moved through them?
Well, there's actually 2.6 million miles of fuel pipelines crisscrossing the entire United States. Here in Michigan, we have over 70,000 miles of pipeline. These carry everything from natural gas to power our home businesses to what are called hazardous liquids. The hazardous liquids are crude oil, petroleum products such as gasoline, diesel fuel, jet fuel, to things such as anhydrous ammonia and carbon dioxide. So we have a whole host of materials being transported out of sight and out of mind throughout Michigan.
People in this area are very familiar with problems with pipelines. A rupture in a pipeline in Marshall in 2010 caused a massive oil spill on the Kalamazoo River. And, of course, people outside of this area became very familiar with that as well. Did that bring the issue of pipeline safety onto people's radar in a way that perhaps it hadn't been there before?
Absolutely. We have significant aging infrastructure of our pipelines, but again, they've been operating out of sight and out of mind for so many years. With more recent large-scale incidences, including the one in Kalamazoo, there's been a lot more concern that's been expressed by the public. Environmental and conservation organizations are starting to look into this matter more. We're seeing the state and our members of Congress get involved on this issue, so it's certainly brought it to the forefront for us to consider.
Now, as you've noted, these pipelines have operated largely out of sight and out of mind, but your news release also notes that if you go through the PHMSA reports, you'll find there were 116 reported incidents on pipelines in Michigan between 2004 and 2013. Does that tell us that a lot of these were much smaller than what happened on the Kalamazoo River and therefore perhaps didn't attract a lot of public attention?
Yes. That's over, you know, the course of the last decade, really. But the Kalamazoo River spill was one of the largest inland waterway spills in the entire country, and obviously garnered significant attention due to the fact that it was such a large spill. It's taken such a long time for it to be cleaned up. It's still underway, and it was extremely expensive. But we've had spills throughout the state, a number of them, that people just necessarily haven't paid attention to because they're smaller. We've had a large one up in the Upper Peninsula, which seemed to go under the radar.
There were new safety regulations for pipelines approved by Congress after that oil spill on the Kalamazoo River. Have those improved the safety of pipelines, or do we know the answer to that yet?
A lot of those are still being evaluated. What Congress did was pass some laws that said, look into X, Y, and Z for a lot of things, such as do we need remote-controlled or automatic shutoff valves to be installed. And so what we've seen since then is the federal regulatory agency evaluating that to put out reports on if, in fact, we need to do that. So we still have some ways to go to increase protections via those measures in Congress. But everything is a step in the right direction.
There is a multi-agency task force which has been created in Michigan to study pipeline safety. Could some of these things be handled at the state level as well?
Well, Michigan actually has no authority on what are called hazardous liquid pipelines, which are the ones that carry the petroleum products and the crude oil. That authority lies solely with the federal government, the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. So it's great that the state of Michigan has created a task force and will start to evaluate pipeline safety, but they really need to work collaboratively with the federal government, who is ultimately responsible for safety of pipelines in Michigan, at least the petroleum pipeline.
Without this study having been done yet, do we have any other evidence out there that pipeline safety is any better, any worse, where it was at when, say, the pipeline ruptured in Marshall in 2010? Has anyone else attempted to look at that independently?
The federal government keeps track of reportable incidences and, you know, what causes those incidences. And there has been a decrease in failures on natural gas pipelines due to excavation, which is primarily because there's been a very large push on education and the 811, which is a call before you dig program to try and encourage people to get the pipelines and other utilities identified before you start digging to avoid that potential rupture. We have seen, however, an uptick in incidences on the hazardous liquid, the petroleum and crude oil pipelines, in recent years. I'm not really sure why that is, if there's something that needs to be done to address that, or if it just, you know, is a blip in the data, or if it's an actual trend that we're seeing. So federal government does track it, but I'm not sure we've actually come up with a conclusion as to why we've seen that uptick in failures recently.
And I wonder, how important is it to know the causes in order to prevent perhaps the next spill, you know, knowing if it was human error, if it was excavation where a couple of different agencies didn't talk to each other? Does that become maybe as important as determining, strength and structure of pipelines when there is a spill? How did it happen and how can it be prevented from happening next time?
Absolutely. It's extremely important, which is why you normally see the National Transportation Safety Board step in and do investigations of these large incidences to basically evaluate some of the reasons behind the failure. With Kalamazoo, we saw some very strong institutional failures with lack of training, lack of public awareness, problems with their integrity management, so how they were monitoring and fixing repairs of the pipeline. And that has been used by Enbridge, the company that owns that line. They've modified a lot of those practices because of what happened in Kalamazoo. They don't want that to repeat that on the rest of their pipeline system in Canada and the United States, including Northern Michigan, where I'm based. But the federal government also put out a bulletin to all pipeline operators, sort of a lessons learned from Marshall, that then other pipeline operators can say, we need to make sure we don't make the same mistakes. So the evaluations of what the cause was and what happened and what went wrong is extremely important as we move forward in ensuring pipeline safety.
Jennifer McKay, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer McKay is policy specialist with the Tip of the Mitt Watershed Council based in Petoskey. Links with more information and longer versions of interviews on West Southwest can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.